This sermon is about stories. One story that we've been told this week is a story of Boston. There's no need for details. I'm sure you've been watching. But even locally, it's the story of a murder-suicide that occurred just on 128th Street in Point Place this week. It's even the story of our Secretary Linda's nephew who was shot last week. But the key is that the first story is not just about the bad guys who plant bombs or pull the trigger. The first story is a story that is told in those moments, but it's also told when we shrink back in fear, when we isolate ourselves, when we center our lives on the goals of self-preservation and self-protection and self-righteousness, when we decide that our lives are going to be about whatever we can do not to get hurt. And we can get hurt in a lot of ways. We can get hurt in community. We can get hurt in intimate relationships. We can get hurt while we're seeking justice. We can get hurt while we're sharing life with the poor and the outcasts of our society. In other words, we can get hurt living like Jesus lived. Many of us live in one way or another the first story of self-preservation and protection, never daring to dive too deep or risk too much. And it seems reasonable to live lives that are about self-preservation and self-protection, because the story being told around us is a story of bombs and guns and hurt and evil. But there is another story. And this story is told to us in one way in John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. And it's a story of real life, deep communion with God and with other people. When I read the story this week from John 21, I was initially just struck by the intimacy of the story. Did you notice that as you listened? Jesus kind of toying with his friends as they're out on the boat, not catching any fish, and Jesus says, well, just flip the net over to the other side of the boat, and then the boat is so full they can't even barely pull it up. Peter's reckless exuberance when he realizes that it's his friend Jesus on the shore. The intimate community of these folks sharing breakfast together on the beach. The recognition of Jesus that's on a deeper level than just his appearance. It says that at first they didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize him by his appearance, but they didn't question who he was because they knew. They just knew on a deeper level who Jesus was. And then Jesus, who hands out the breakfast meal as a gift to them. All of these things add to the sense of intimacy and communion of the story. I was also struck as I read the story by just how real life, how physical the story is. You have the contrast of the morning darkness and then the light of the sunrise. You hear the voice of Jesus traveling out over the lake. You sense the heaviness of the net that is filled with fish. You feel the wetness of Peter's swim to the shore and the warmth of the charcoal fire. And you can almost smell the sound or the smell of the fish and bread on the open fire and taste that meal and see and recognize the presence of Jesus. The disciples are living out a deep communion with Jesus and one another in real life. And it's, I think it's this experience, this real, physical, intimate, experience with Jesus that gives the disciples then the courage to enter into the impossible mission of changing the world. It's that deep, real-life communion with Jesus that allows them to be recklessly risky with their lives and their possessions for the sake of love. And it's that real-life, intimate communion with Jesus that enables them to be filled with the fullness of joy, even as they're well acquainted with sorrow and death. And I think as we watch the news this week, we may wonder, you know, how do we live well, live wisely, live fully in a world where the story of death and sorrow is so prevalent? Between the bombings in Boston and the explosion in Texas and the earthquake in Iran and tragedies right around our corner, I think a lot of us feel it's reasonable to respond by drawing inward on ourselves. And we may pray for the victims, and we may even send money when tragedy hits. We might post something compassionate on Facebook. But all of that is so safe. Really deep down, a lot of us want to focus on the safety and security of ourselves and our families. Because there are lots of reasons not to risk. Lots of ways we can get hurt. But there is another way to respond to stories like we were inundated with this week. Because there's another story. It's a story where grace and life emerge most triumphantly out of fear and death. It's a story of forgiveness, even when bearing grudges feels just so just. It's a story of welcoming strangers, even though they're strangers. It's a story of deep communion with God, even when we can't control Him. And it's a story of deep community with others, even when we can get hurt. And the only reason we would ever live that story is because it's the story that God has lived out on our behalf. Risking everything, sacrificing His life for our sake and for the sake of being with us in deep communion. And this story about God that we talk about on Sunday after Sunday can sometimes seem esoteric and ethereal and kind of abstract, or maybe we think it's something that only becomes real after we die and go to heaven. But that's not what the disciples experienced, and that's not what we have to experience. It's a story that we can choose now. It's also not a story that makes sorrow and tragedy and death any less real. Those things are all real. And the disciples knew it. The disciples experienced death, martyrdom, persecution on levels that most of us could never even imagine. And still, they chose that other story. This is the story. This is a story that we must live out, even when that other story of death and sorrow continues to be told and lived out all around us. So, there are lots of ways that we could respond to the events and tragedies of the last week, and surely there are going to be more reasons to draw inward to come. More reasons to try to preserve ourselves and protect ourselves and live in fear and isolation. Those things are all reasonable responses. But I happen to believe that the story of risky love and deep communion with God and others is just simply a far better story. And it's a story that endures, is eternal, that follows us and grows in us, in ways that the other story never can. So we just ask ourselves today, how can we live out this real life, deep communion with God and with other people here and now in real life so that we can be people who tell a better story, a different story to the world? Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, deep down I know that we don't want to be people who shrink back in the face of danger and fear. Lord, but we confess that often we are those people. Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage to enter into this life of deep communion with you and with others so that we can become people who are willing to risk for the sake of love, who are willing to forgive, who are willing to share the story, who are willing to do hard things so that others can experience your goodness and your love and your grace as well. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, our risen Savior. Amen.